إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipper, servant and messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajrat al-Iman, the clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith, by al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. Tonight, our discussion is going to continue where we left off last week, that is with the mention of further evidences from the Qur'an, which supports the comprehensive definition of Iman that is, yani, agreed upon by the people of Sunnah, by the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this definition, yani, has been expressed with various different wordings. The author himself, rahimahullah, in the introduction or in the first part of this book, the definition of Iman, the chapter that we are dealing with now, he has expressed it in three different yani manners, or three different ways of expressing the definition of Iman. And the scholars of the people of Sunnah in their books, you'll see that even though the wording may vary slightly, but the meaning and ultimately is the same. So we're going to continue with some of the proofs and evidences which support this comprehensive definition of Iman, which means that Iman is not limited, it is not restricted to that which is in the heart. Rather, Iman also includes speech and action. And that's why some of the scholars of the people of Sunnah, when they defined Iman, they didn't even mention i'tiqad, yani the conviction or the belief that's in the heart. They just mentioned that Iman is speech and action. Because it's agreed upon that Iman is something in the heart, that there's conviction in the heart. But the difference is, does it also include speech? And does it also include action? That's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in Al-Aqid al-Wasatiyah, when he defined Iman, he said Iman is qawlun wa amalun. Yani that's what he started with. Yani qawl al-qalb wal-lisan wa amal al-qalb wal-lisan wal-jawari. Yani that it is the speech of the heart and the tongue, and the action of the heart and the tongue and the limbs. Yani, this is the point on which there is difference of opinion, and the evidences that follow in this first section of the book are all basically related to clarifying this particular issue. Yani, that Iman is not limited to the conviction or the affirmation or confirmation or confession or acknowledgement of yani what Iman requires. That it's not just acknowledgement in the heart, rather it has to be expressed further in the speech, on the tongue and the limbs of the body. So before we go into the evidences for tonight, the Shaykh mentions three ayats from the Quran, or three yani sequences of ayats from the Quran. The first two are yani the primary evidences that support the comprehensive definition of Iman, and the third ayat actually supports yani his explanation of the second ayat, but it also yani brings some further clarification of what we understand to be the true definition of Iman. That is, that Iman is speech and action in addition to the conviction that's in the heart, and that it increases and decreases, and also that Iman, the Iman that's in the heart of the believer, differs from one person to another. It's not all the same. Everyone is not on the same level. Okay, so before we go into our topic for tonight, the evidences for tonight, let's go back and look at some of the issues that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 4. Mention the two descriptions with which Allah describes those who are siddiqoon in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th surah, 19th ayah. What are the two descriptions with which Allah describes the people who are yani siddiqoon? What are those two descriptions? Now, okay, those who believe, who have iman in Allah, and who have iman in His messengers. And that belief, or that iman, requires, yani, it's not just a claim, it has to be realized, it has to be actualized. Meaning, there has to be something happening in the heart. And then, it is also manifested further in one's speech and actions, in one's manners, morals, character, and so on. Now, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Hadid in this ayat, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِي أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصِّدِّيقِينَ. Yani those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, هُمُ الصِّدِّيقُونَ. Now, Allahu musta'an. So those who believe in Allah and His Messengers, عليهم السلام, these and only these are the people who have reached this high level of being Siddiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us to know this is a tremendous level of achievement, and that it is for those people who have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who actualize that iman, who materialize it, who implement it in their lives, and those who confirm, yani tasdiq al-mursaleen, who confirm the truthfulness of the messengers, not just by saying we believe that what they said is true, but by acting upon it, following them, being obedient to them. Now, question number two, discuss the author's explanation of how one achieves or how one realizes this level of being a Siddiq mentioned in the above surah 57:19. How has the Shaykh explained yani the tahqiq or the realization, the actualization, the implementation of this iman in Allah and tasdiq of the messengers? How has he explained it? And he started by saying that they have two, yani it is achieved, yani first it's manifested, ظاهرًا وباطنًا, outwardly and inwardly. So there has to be internal manifestation of it, and there has to be external manifestation as well. And then he went on to explain that this means, yani it means that it is manifested in their اعتقاد, in their beliefs, and in their akhlaq, in their character, morals and manners, and in their a'mal, yani their ibadat, and in their acts of worship. It's manifested in all of these areas, and he said also in the completion or the perfection of their ta'ah, their obedience to Allah and His Messenger. So this is really very, very important, that the iman in Allah requires obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Yani tasdiq al-mursaleen requires following them, obeying them, and complying with that which they yani have brought to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience, obedience. It's manifested in the aqaid, in the aqidah, the beliefs. It's manifested in the akhlaq. And this is a matter really that the Shaykh emphasizes over and over again. And from the evidence tonight, we're going to see yani, a clear proof of this. But I want to say that it is of the greatest importance that we realize that being upon the correct path, being upon the truth, being upon the sunnah, the sirat al-mustaqeen, is not just claiming that you have a certain belief and identifying with that belief or with the scholars who espouse it, but it also has to be manifested in actions. We have to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to be people who give care to our prayer and to our fasting and to reading the Quran and learning the deen. Getting up in the night and fasting outside of Ramadan, not just in Ramadan. Character, manners and morals. Truthfulness. Yani, being compassionate, forgiving and merciful, charitable. All of this is part of iman. All of these are components of iman that increase one's iman and strengthens one's iman. And the opposite is true. The opposite, meaning that if a person doesn't do these things, or is not characterized with these things, then it decreases one's iman. Question number three, mentioned the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which confirms lofty dwellings for those who achieve this high station. And in the hadith that the Shaykh mentions in Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Even if somebody has the general meaning of the hadith. Now, fadda. First, does anybody remember something from that hadith before we read it? At all? Yani that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna ahl al-jannah لَيَتَرَاعَوْنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَفِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ يعني that the people of paradise, the people in paradise will be exerting themselves to look to the people, the أهل الْقُرَف, the people in those lofty dwellings. And it's not like somebody's in front of you, or they're driving in a truck, or a tractor trailer, and you have to look up to them. No, this is like looking, as the Prophet ﷺ said, what did he say? Like it's what? Looking up to the stars in the sky, on the horizon, the east or in the west. It's like looking up to that due to the difference in the levels of the people in paradise and those who are in those lofty dwellings. Yani, the scholars said that the meaning of this difference between them is, first, it is the yani bird, that they are so far away, like the stars are far away. And then they said, al-ulu, that due to the highness, because they are so high, above the rest of the people in paradise. And then the rest of the hadith, they said, Ya Rasulullah,
they said, Messenger of Allah, are not those levels of the prophets which none shall reach them?
Yani, are these not just stations, levels, degrees, that's exclusively for the prophets that nobody else will reach? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said,
rather by the one whose hand is my soul, it will be reached by those who believe in Allah and sincerely, truly attested to the Messenger.
Now, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I swear by the one whose life, in whose hand is my life. He said that they are men. These places, these high stations will be for men who have believed in Allah and who have testified to the truthfulness of the messengers. And he testified to the truthfulness of the messengers by acting upon the message that they brought. And again, yani, subhanAllah, what a high, lofty position. Yani, it is something to strive for. It is something worthy of yearning for, but a person cannot just hope and wish for it. We have to actually do something. And now is the time to do it. Life is short. We don't have a lot of time. If we're going to do something, we have to do it now, today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. May Allah grant us success. And ask Allah's help and then exert oneself. And don't feel that you can't do it. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, these are not just for the prophets and messengers. Rather, it's for people who have believed in Allah, who have iman in Allah, and tasdeeq al-mursaleen. The next question, explain what has Allah ordered the believers with. Yani, to believe in. What has Allah ordered the believers to believe in when He said, yani, the meaning of which is, say we believe in Allah and that which has been sent down to us to the end of yani, what He said to believe in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 136. What is the meaning of this ayat when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ or قُولُ, yani, say we believe in Allah and what has been sent to us and what has been sent to yani, Ibrahim, revealed to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub al-Asbat, and what has been given to Musa and Isa and what has been given to the prophets. Yani, what is Allah ordering us with here? The Shaykh, he says that he's ordering us to believe in every messenger that Allah has sent. And he's ordering us to believe in every book that Allah has revealed. In addition, before that, if we believe in Allah, then believing in Allah is the asl of the usul. So believing in Allah requires us to believe in every other fundamental principle of belief in Islam that is derived from the belief in Allah. That is, belief in Allah, believe in His angels, believe in His books, believe in His prophets, and so on. Now, also, the second question that follows at the end of this ayat, what discuss the meaning and significance of the words after He said believe, yani, when Allah ordered us to believe in Allah and to believe in what has been sent down to us and was sent down to the prophets and messengers. And He said, at the end of it, He said, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. What is the meaning of these words at the end of this ayat? In Surah Al-Baqarah, 136. What is the meaning of وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ? Okay, I mean, probably you can derive from that something about all the prophets were Muslim, but there are ayahs in the Quran more clearly that mention the prophets by names as being Muslims and their followers as being Muslims. But here, yani, Allah is ordering us, the Muslims, the people who say they believe, ordering us to say we believe in Allah, and we believe in what has been sent down to them. We believe in what was sent to the prophets and messengers. We make no distinction between them. And then He said that we should say, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ لِلَّهِ نَحْنُ لِلَّهِ مُسْلِمُونَ. The meaning that He said, somebody remember what the Shaykh said now?
No,
submit. Yani it means al-istislam. And, huh? Al-ikhlas. First, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ لِلَّهِ. Yani that our Islam, our submission, istislam and inqiyad is for Allah alone. For Allah alone. That means it indicates ikhlas, that it has to be purely for Allah. And then also the istislam, yani the inqiyad, the submission, compliance, willing, surrender, obedience. Naam. The following question, well, before the next question, six, before that, can somebody explain how this ayat is a proof of the comprehensive definition of iman? That iman includes that which is in the heart and, yani, outward actions. How does this ayat prove that? Yani, just briefly, what is the indication here? Yani, how is this ayat a proof that iman is not limited to what's in the heart, but it also requires, yani, actions? Huh? I can't hear you.
Speech and action.
Speech and action. Yeah, how is this ayat a proof of that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the people to say they believe, to acknowledge the iman, what they believe in, and He's also telling them to acknowledge that we not only believe, but we also comply, we submit, we surrender, we're obedient by saying, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. He's saying that also part of your iman is that you have to comply, you have to submit and surrender. You have to be obedient. So it's not just, I believe, it's in my heart. You don't know what's in my heart. Don't judge me by what you see. You don't know what's in my heart. Only Allah knows. Yes. But iman is not just limited to the heart. It is manifest in actions that are seen. And that's why Allah ordered the believers to stay here. And we also comply. We submit. We surrender to Allah alone. Question number six. Identify and discuss the conviction in the heart. Where is the conviction in the heart? And where is the compliance of the body parts? In the second ayah that we discussed last week, that is in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 285. Yani the ayah which begins by saying, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. Where is the conviction in the heart in this ayah? And where is the compliance of the body parts? Yeah. آمن رسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. That is all the conviction in the heart. So where is the compliance to the body parts? قالوا سمعنا وأطاعنا. They say, we have heard your commands and your prohibitions and we obey. We comply, we submit. Yani, we surrender to comply with what you have commanded us with. So this ayat is also a very clear indication that iman is not limited to the heart, but it also requires, yani, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messengers. Or Allah and His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number seven, memorize the ayat in Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, 53rd ayat, and that was the last ayat that we covered last week concerning the statement of iman of the followers of Isa alayhi salam. And in the followers of the other prophets, the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned at the end there, he said that this ayah also is a proof of the same thing. And anybody memorize that ayah? Naam, Qasim.
Rabbana amanna bima anzalta wa tabana ar-rasula faktubna shahidin.
Ma shahidin. Now, they said, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا. That's the first part. Yani that iman requires conviction in the heart. آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ. We have believed in what you have sent down. The revelation that came to the Prophet. And all that it entails. Yani everything that it commanded us to do and prohibited us from. Everything that it commanded us to believe in and to disbelieve in and to reject. Everything that came in that revelation, we have believed in it. And then they said, what? فَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولِ. And we have followed the messenger. Yani meaning, we have followed his commands. We have followed his way. Yani the example that he set for us, we are following in his footsteps. Practicing Islam. Worshipping you the way the messenger has shown us. That you sent to us to be a guide and an example and a model for us. Therefore, write us down amongst the shahideen, meaning the people who bear witness to your Tawheed. Explain how this ayah proves the same point as Surah Al-Baqarah, that iman is not limited to conviction in the heart. And I think we just explained it to some extent, I guess. Yani the explanation is what? It shows iman, the iman that's in the heart, the conviction that's in the heart, and along with the compliance, the obedience, the submission. So this point, yani the Shaykh is going to continue to bring out and to explain and to manifest by other ayat from the Quran and other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ until it becomes crystal clear that there is no question that this is actually the correct, the true, yani the proper definition of iman. Okay, so tonight we're going to start with where we left off last week. I don't know what page that's on in the English book, but in Arabic it's on the bottom of page 19. Yani, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 2nd, 3rd and 4th Ayah. What page is that on?
Page 21.
Page 21? Right, on page 21 in English. And it's on page, on the bottom of page 19 in Arabic. So we're going to start with the Shaykh, yani, after he mentioned the saying of the followers of Isa alayhi salam, that they said, "We have believed in what you have sent down and we have followed the messenger." So after this he brings another ayah, and this ayah is a crystal clear, beautiful proof. I wish I could find the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn al-Jami, rahimahullah. And once I heard him giving a lecture about this ayah, and the way he explained it, I never heard it like that before, and I looked in a lot of books of tafsir trying to find where did he get it from. But being a scholar, right, so he got it from a lot of places, not from one place. But the way he explained it, he clearly showed how this ayah, or these ayat in the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, that they show that iman is not limited to the heart, to what is in the heart, rather, it's also expressed on the tongue and manifested in the actions of the limbs. And it also brings other proof, other manifestations of the definition of iman, that is, that yani iman increases and decreases. And also, that the level of iman of the people is not all the same, that people are on different levels of iman. All of these things are contained in this sequence of ayats, from Surah Al-Anfal, 2nd, 3rd and 4th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بعد أعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Yani this expression here in the beginning of the ayat, إِنَّمَا, yani is an expression of حَصَر or قَصَر. Yani it means that it is the affirmation of a statement, but limiting it to the one who is mentioned here. Yani limiting it to the Mu'minun. Only the Mu'minun are those people who are described in what follows. Yani the Munafiqun, this is not applicable to them. The Kuffar, this is not applicable to them. But rather, it is affirmation first, inna, and but with the ma, inna ma, it is also, yani hasr. It is limiting what follows to the people of Iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama al-mu'minuna, that indeed, verily, the believers, and only the believers, yani the people who have perfect iman. Because we mentioned previously, right, that iman, there are two types of iman. Yani iman al-kamil al-iman, duna dhalika. There's the complete and perfect iman, where a person is fulfilling the obligations of iman, in terms of speech and action and what's in the heart. And then there's iman less than that, where there are some people who are not fulfilling all the obligations of iman. Though they have iman. They have iman, but it's not complete and perfect. So iman needs to be tended to, so that it can be strengthened, so that it can be increased, so that it can be perfected. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed the believers, and only the believers, are those who, الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Yani that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, their hearts experience fear. Yani something happens in the heart, because of the knowledge of Allah, who Allah is, and the greatness and magnificence, and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of that, because they know that, and that's why there's ilm, there's ulum al-iman, there's knowledge of iman. You have to have knowledge. It's not just, I believe. No, you have to have knowledge. So the people who know Allah, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. The people who have khashya of Allah, who really have fear of Allah, are the ulama, the people who have knowledge of Allah, who know Allah, who know His names, who know His qualities and characteristics, who know His actions, His perfection. So Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are those who, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Yani if Allah is mentioned, their hearts experience fear. And we're going to look at a little bit of what yani the author says in his tafsir concerning this ayah, even though we covered it yani maybe a month or two ago, but we're going to take another look at it yani for the benefit of it. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, and when his ayat, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited to them, when they recite the ayat of Allah, or when they hear the ayat of Allah recited, naam, then what happens to them? It increases them in iman. The iman is increased. Yani something happens in the heart. Because that's the root of iman, but it's not stuck there. Right? But something happens in their heart that causes their iman to increase. The recitation of Quran. And it means that if a person reflects, ponders and contemplates on the ayat of the Quran and understands their meanings, that it will cause an increase of iman in their heart. وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they are upon their Rabb alone, Him alone, putting their trust. They depend upon their Rabb alone. They rely upon Allah alone for every need, whatever it may be, to achieve some good or to repulse some harm. And they have faith. Yani they have fiqh billahi. They have confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to leave them abandoned. These first few statements in the second ayat of Surah Al-Anfal are all related to the first part of iman. That is the internal aspect of iman. That which happens in the heart. That when Allah is mentioned, they experience fear. And when the ayat of Allah are recited, they increase, the iman in their heart increases. And they, yani in their heart, have total trust and reliance and dependence upon Allah. All of that is related to the internal aspect of iman. Then Allah says in the third ayat, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they are also these believers, from their descriptions, are also that they establish the prayer, and from what yani we have provided them, what Allah has provided them, they spend. So they establish the salah, and they also spend. Yani in the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, in the ways that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the last ayah, in the fourth ayah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These, they are the believers, حَقًّا, in truth. These, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ, they and only them. As he mentioned in the beginning of the ayah, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. These and only these are the mu'minun haqqan, in truth. Really the believers, who have real iman, who have complete and perfect iman, لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. And they have high degrees or high stations, and they have honor with their Rabb. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ, and forgiveness of their shortcomings and their sins. وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, and a noble, honorable provision, that is, al-jannah. A little bit of what is related concerning these ayat that we covered before, and I'll summarize what we mentioned previously. Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning these ayat that it has been said, it has been narrated from Ali ibn al-Talha an ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma concerning this ayat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that the believers are those who, when Allah has mentioned, their hearts experience fear. He said, the munafiquna, yani nothing happens to their heart when Allah is mentioned. That the munafiquna, they don't believe in anything of the ayat of Allah. And they don't put their trust in Allah. And when they're absent from the believers, they don't perform prayer. When they're absent. They only pray when people are watching. And they don't spend out of their wealth in the zakat that Allah has made obligatory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us then that the people who don't do these things, they are not believers. They are not the believers. Rather, the believers are those who do these things. Ibn Kathir also mentions the saying of Mujahid, that he said that this is the description of the believer, haqq al-mu'min, the one who is a true believer. That when Allah is mentioned, his heart experiences fear. And as a result of that, he fulfills the commands of Allah and avoids the things that Allah has warned us against. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah said, I heard a Suddi rahimahullah saying concerning this ayat, huwa al-rajul, huwa al-rajul yuridu an yadhlima aw qala yahummu bima asiya. فَيُقَالَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فَيَجِلُ قَلْبُهُ. Yani a person who intended to do some wrong, some oppression, wrongdoing, ظلم. Or he had an intent, yani to commit a sin. And it was said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Yani the name of Allah is mentioned, and his heart experiences fear, and he refrains. The Shaykh, he says concerning this ayat, yani that when Allah is mentioned, their hearts experience fear, and this fear necessitates that they refrain from that which is haram. And from the greatest signs that a person has fear of Allah is that they refrain from committing sins. Not just when they are reminded, but especially then. Yani from the greatest signs that a person has khawf of Allah is that they refrain from committing sins. Out of fear of Allah, out of fear of losing His pleasure, out of fear of earning His displeasure, out of fear of His punishment, which is severe. And the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, he also goes on to say, when the ayat of Allah are recited, it causes his iman to increase. He said, the way that this happens is because they listen attentively, the believers, when the Quran is recited, they listen to it. They pay attention to it. It means something to them. It's not something insignificant. It's not like the news is on and I'm not really paying attention. It's not that important. But when the Qur'an is being recited, they listen, they give ear to it. And their presence of heart and mind, they reflect and contemplate on it. And this reflection on what they are hearing, yani, causes iman to increase. Because tadabbur, reflecting, contemplating on the Qur'an, is an action of the heart. It is an act of worship. And therefore, iman increases. And the Shaykh says, not only that, but when they reflect on this, then they will come to know something that they didn't know when they listened to the Qur'an. Or they will be reminded of something that they have forgotten. Or they will be encouraged to do some good. There will be, yani, there will be a yearning in their heart for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of His reward and honor for the people who believe and do good deeds. And there will be fear in their heart of the punishment of Allah. And fear of committing the sins that earn the displeasure of Allah. By what? By listening and contemplating and reflecting on the ayat of Allah. He said, all of these things are from the things that increase iman. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, as mentioned by Ibn Kathir, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, he and others of the imams of the people of Sunnah, mentioned this ayat, they use this ayat as a proof for increase of iman and decrease of iman in the hearts of the people. That this ayat is a proof of increase of iman and decrease of iman. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen and other scholars from the people of the Sunnah of the past mentioned that, yani, it is not possible that there is something which has the potential to increase, but it doesn't have the potential to decrease. Whatever can increase can also decrease. This ayah is a clear indication of increase of iman. Zadat, yani imanum, zadatum imanan. Also, the Shaykh, he said, concerning these ayat, that they put their trust in Allah, yani in order to achieve every good and to repulse every harm, and they have trust in Allah. And he said that this tawakkul ala Allah, it is the greatest cause of a person doing good deeds. Good deeds will not be, they will not occur, and they will not be completed and perfected, except that a person puts their trust in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is no success except from Allah. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says concerning this, that they don't have hope in anyone other than Allah. That their goal and objective is no one other than Allah. And that they seek refuge only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They seek all of their needs from Allah. Their hope, yani, for everything is with Allah. And they know that nothing will happen except what Allah wills. Whatever Allah wills will happen. Whatever Allah doesn't will not happen. They know this. They know that Allah is the one who has complete control, who does whatever he wills, yani, in the affairs of his creation. And then they also mention, yani, the Shaykh also mentions about establishing the prayer and spending from that which Allah has provided. He said this establishing of the prayer means the obligatory prayers and the voluntary prayers, yani, including the actions of prayer which are outward, yani, which are visible, which are seen, and those which are not seen. Meaning the inner actions of the prayer is what happens in the heart, yani, the ikhlas, the khushu'. Yani, and so on like this. And the outward actions that we know, ruku and sujood and so on. But the inward actions, the khushu'ah especially, yani, the Shaykh said, this is the heart, the essence of the prayer. Yani without it, there's really no benefit in the speech and the movements of prayer, except that a person has presence of heart and mind. Yani that they are conscious and aware that they are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they bring to mind Allah's nearness. And that they remind themselves of the manners that should be displayed in standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani when a person stands in prayer, they should be conscious that they're standing in front of Allah. And if you have good manners in front of your mother or your father, what about you standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلَ الْعَالَى. And there's no example, right, that we can make that is befitting. But the examples that we make when we remind people of things in the worldly life is just to give us an idea of the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, far superior to any example that we make with human beings. But definitely some of us do have respect for our parents. That's part of Islam. Yet the respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than that. The spending is the obligatory spendings and voluntary spendings. That is the zakat that Allah has made obligatory upon us from our wealth, if we have that amount of wealth. Yani, as well as the spending on our families, our relatives, and in all the manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, spending in ways that are pleasing to Him. Ibn Kathir mentions, and I'll just summarize it, yani, that these the establishment of the prayer and the giving of zakat is a manifestation of the fulfillment of the rights of Allah and the rights of the created beings. Yani, the establishment of the prayer is from the rights of Allah, and the giving of zakat is for the benefit of the people. And the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, says that these are the yani mu'minun, the true people of Iman. That is because they have combined between Islam and Iman. Yani that which is in the heart and that which is displayed outwardly. The outward actions and the inner actions. They have combined between ilm and amal. Seeking knowledge and acting upon it. And they have combined between fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. And some of us, yani appear to fulfill the rights of Allah to whatever extent, but we don't care about the people. The Shaykh says these ayats are a proof that Iman increases and decreases. That it increases with acts of obedience and decreases with the opposite of it. And that it is أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَتَأَحَدَ إِمَانَهُ وَيُمْنِيهِ أَوْ يُمَنِّيهِ. That it is incumbent, it is befitting of the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give care to one's Iman. Yani to do the things that cause it to grow, to increase and to become stronger. And that the greatest thing through which yani Iman is increased, it is by reflection on the Qur'an and its meanings. La'abas, we still have a few minutes, inshaAllah. So, after that, yani, these ayats mention the yani five characteristics of the believers who have perfect Iman. Three of them are related to the heart and two of them are external manifestations of Iman. The author, he says concerning this, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the believers on page 20. فَوَصَفَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ الْمُتَضَمِّنَةِ لِقِيَامِ بِأُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَفُرُوعِهِ ظَاهِرِهِ وَبَاطِنِهِ. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the believers in these ayats with characteristics or qualities or descriptions that yani entail the fulfillment. قِيَام بِأُصُولِ الدِّينِ وَفَرُوعِهِ. Yani the fulfillment of all the fundamentals of the deen and its branches. Yani the primary fundamentals of the deen as well as the secondary branches of the deen. Yani ظاهري وباطنهي. Yani that which is externally seen and internal. فَأَنَّهُ وَسَفَهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَإِيمَانٍ إِيمَانًا ظَهَرَتْ آثُرُهُ فِي أَقَائِدِهِمْ وَأَقْوَالِهِمْ وَأَعْمَالِهِمْ الظاهرة والباطنة. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the believers with having Iman in Him, Iman in Allah. An Iman whose its effects are manifested in their aqidah, what they believe, and in their speech, what they say, and in their actions. That which is external and that which is internal. And in addition to him confirming their Iman, the Iman in their heart, he also mentions that whenever the ayat of Allah are recited, their iman is increased. They have iman, and then it's increased by pondering, reflection, understanding the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَزْدَادُوا خَوْفُهُمْ وَوَجَلُهُمْ كُلُّ مَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. And their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increased every time Allah is mentioned. وَهُمْ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَسِرِّهِمْ مُتَوَكِّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And within their hearts and in their inner self, they are مُتَوَكِّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, putting their trust in Allah, depending on Allah for all of their affairs. مُفَوِّدُونَ أُمُورَهُمْ. They give every, they turn every affair over to Allah. They put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this trust in Allah, tawakkul ala Allah, and leaving one's affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning I don't need, yani, the help from somebody else in those affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be turned to for. It doesn't mean that if a person has a heavy package, they can't ask another brother or someone else to help them carry the package. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the real dependence, reliance, that is for Allah alone, that we shouldn't, yani, put our heart, give our heart to other people. But it should be in Allah alone. And with that though, part of a tawakkul, and this is a very, very important part of tawakkul, is al-akhd bil-asbab. That when we put our trust in Allah, there's no contradiction. Rather, it is part of tawakkul ala Allah that we take hold of, that we utilize the means to achieve whatever it is that we are trying to achieve, or whatever it is that we're trying to repel from us. We have to utilize the legislated means. We don't just put our trust in Allah and know, have confidence that Allah is going to come through. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do anything. It's just going to come. No, we have to utilize the means to achieve our goal or to repulse harm. And then we put our trust in Allah. Yani, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, اَعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Yani, a person asked him, shall I tie the camel or shall I just leave it to roam freely? The Prophet ﷺ said, tie it and put your trust in Allah. And put your trust in Allah. Now, so this is very important from the characteristics of believers, that they put their trust in Allah. And they, in addition to that, those inward aspects of iman, they also establish the prayers, the obligatory prayers and the voluntary prayers. And they establish it and fulfill its rights and requirements outwardly and inwardly, not just performing the ruku and the sujood perfectly and the standing upright, nice and standing still, like we're really attentive, but rather inwardly there has to be something that we're attending to as well. They give the zakat, spending, yani, from the obligatory spendings and those which are mustahab, yani, that are encouraged, recommended, that are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the shaykh says, so whoever is upon this description, yani, whoever is fitting, this is a, yani, they are fitting this description, they can be described with these descriptions, then there doesn't remain any khair left for them to go after, nor any evil left for them to try to escape from. Yani, they have arrived by the permission of Allah. For that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of this, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These are the people, the true believers, yani, in truth, they are the believers. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِقُّونَ هَذَا الْوَصْفِ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ. Yani, مُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا, yani, meaning, يَسْتَحِقُّونَ. They are the people that deserve, that have a right, yani, to this description in reality. عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ. يُحَقِّقُونَ الْقِيَامِ بِهِ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا. Because these are the people who actualize, who realize, who fulfill what is required of iman, outwardly and inwardly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reward, the great reward that includes al-maghfira, yani, the forgiveness that includes within it, the removal of every evil or thing that a person would be, take caution from, yani, would be, everything that a person would be afraid of. This, yani, this forgiveness includes that these things will be removed. And it also, yani, and also from their reward will be the raising of their station, their darajat, and the rabbihim, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will have high stations with Allah. And this is like what we mentioned previously, yani, the position of the ahlul ghurf, that they will have high stations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also mentioned this, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in Surah Al-Furqan, at the end of the ayahs of Surah Al-Furqan, describing the Ibad al-Rahman, he says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبْرُوا. That they will be given the reward of, yani, high, lofty, yani, stations, lofty homes, dwellings, yani above the rest of the people, high degrees with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rizq kareem, yani the noble sustenance that includes the blessings which no eye has seen and no ear has heard and nor has yani any human being even thought of. Yani it hasn't come across the heart of the human being. After this, yani the Shaykh mentions the second ayat or series of ayat, sequence of ayat, which we also covered previously, but in any case, alhamdulillah, yani we're going to take a quick review of it a little bit. Now, just a couple of points in these ayats from Suratul Mu'minun, 23rd Surah of the Quran, ayats 1 through 11. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that indeed, definitely, certainly, the people of Iman, the true believers, they have been successful. So Allah describes them as believers first, and then He mentions other characteristics of those believers who have Iman that complete and perfect their Iman, due to which they will receive yani the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions at the end of these ayats, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, these are the inheritors. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will inherit الْفِرْدَوْسَ, the highest, yani أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ, the highest place in Jannah. وَأَوْسَطَ الْجَنَّةِ, the middle, the best of Jannah, yani the best place in Jannah, and they will remain it forever. What are these descriptions that Allah mentions after Iman? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that they have khushu' in their salat, yani they have presence of heart and mind, consciousness, awareness of them, of their standing in front of Allah, of the nearness of Allah, and consciousness of whatever they are saying and doing in the prayer from the beginning of it until the end of it. Al-khushu' fi salat. And in the end he mentions of those characteristics, he said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, that they also are those who protect and preserve and guard their prayers. Not only do they have khushu' in the salat, but also yani the performance of the prayers regularly in their times, in the masjid for the men and so on. Yani performing the prayer outwardly as well, and all that is required of it. They are described with these two characteristics related to the prayer. The Shaykh says both of them are necessary, because whoever has khushu in the prayer but he doesn't perform the prayers regularly, or the person who performs the prayers in their times and regularly but he doesn't have khushu, then they will not yani complete what is required of the people of complete and perfect Iman. After this he mentions, after Salah, he says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And we want to focus on this type of description here, because it's outside of what is generally considered to be ritual acts of worship, like prayer and Salat and Hajj and Zakat and Hajj and things like this. And what we want to note here in the ayats that follow, yani some of the descriptions in these ayats, is that some of these descriptions are related to Al-Akhlaq. They are not related to ibadah specifically, yani ritual worship. And they are not related to just yani something that a conviction in the heart. Rather, they are related to the character and the morals and the manners of the people of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Yani that speech which has no khair in it, that has no fa'idah, no benefit in it, they turn away from it. They have no desire for it. They consider themselves to be above that. And the author, rahimahullah, says that if they don't even pay attention to, listen to, or engage the people who engage in speech that has no benefit, then what about speech that's haram? What about themselves engaging in such? Far beyond, yani they are far above that. Yani because this is from the character of Iman, akhlaq al-Iman. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, and that they fulfill the zakat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, and they are those who guard and protect and preserve their private parts. Meaning they protect themselves from zina, from engaging in any kind of sexual relations with other than their lawful spouse. They guard, they have morals. Unlike some of the people of today who identify themselves with Islam, وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ. Wallahu musta'an. I don't even want to say what we hear from reliable people. And even some of the people themselves said that I fell. But the people of Iman have to have morals. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Except with their spouse, spouses, except those who their right hand possess, if that case is applicable. For in this case they are not blamed. But whoever desires what other than this, other than the lawful means of yani, a person expressing their sexual needs, then these people have transgressed the bounds. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. They have gone beyond the bounds. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And those who, يعني, take care to guard and to protect and to preserve and to fulfill the amanat and the ahd. يعني, the trust, things that they have been entrusted with, whether it is trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or trust from the people, whether it is a secret or some property or something that a person entrusts you with, or the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the obligation that He has placed upon us to perform the prayers 5 times a day and the times and so on, and such like this. The amanah and the contracts, the obligatory agreements that we have made to keep, and that Muslims keep their word. And this is related to the akhlaq of iman, the character, the morals and the manners of the people of iman. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. So what I want to emphasize here, I'm not going to go to the tafsir here because it's for the sake of time, but in any case we did cover this tafsir previously some time ago, not that long ago, so I'm going to suffice with what the Shaykh said here so that we don't go too far or beyond the time. But I want to emphasize here, yani, 4 descriptions that Allah mentions in these ayat, yani in the 3rd ayat, that they are those who don't bother with al-lagw, yani vain talk or even vain actions, speech and actions that have no khair in it, there's no good in it, it has no benefit in it even, yani not even worldly benefit, it's just wastefulness, wasted time, wasted energy, wasted speech. The people of iman don't yani bother themselves with such. The people of iman are those who guard their yani modesty. They are modest. They have consciousness of what Allah has made lawful and what Allah has made forbidden. And they guard their modesty. They guard their private parts. They don't engage in that which Allah has forbidden. And the Shaykh, he said in his tafsir of this ayah, he said that part of guarding yani their furuj, part of it is leaving, distancing oneself from that which leads to it. Yani not engaging in that conversation with a person of the opposite gender. Not engaging in that conversation. Not giving opportunity for the soft speech of the other person to reach your heart. Not being alone with somebody you don't have the right to be alone with. Yani don't even approach those things that lead to zina. That's part of yani guarding one's modesty. And the 3rd thing that I want to mention, or the 3rd and 4th, is yani that they guard the amanat and the uhud. Yani that all trust. Yani they give the full rights to whatever has been entrusted to them. Whether it is trust between the human being and Allah, or trust between a human being and another human being, and they fulfill their contracts. The Shaykh says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ففسر الله الإيمان في هذه الآيات بجميع هذه الخصال. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has fassara, He has yani explained iman in these ayat as including all of these characteristics or qualities, including some acts of worship and including some matters related to character and morals. فَإِنَّهُ أَخْبَرُ بِفَلَاحَ الْمُحْمِنِينَ. Allah has informed us that the believers will be successful. He informed us of the success of the believers. ثُمَّ وَصَفَهُمْ بِقَوْلِهِ. And then He described them with the saying, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That they are those who have khushu' in their salat until the end of the mentioned ayat. So whoever completes and perfects these characteristics or these qualities, فَهُوَ الْمُؤْمِنْ حَقًّا. Then this is the one who is a believer in truth. Yani who has actualized iman, who is deserving of being described as a believer. And which one of us doesn't want to be described as a believer? But the fullness of iman, the complete and perfection of iman, requires more than just a conviction in the heart. Yani no person will enter Jannah except the believer, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يدخل الجنة إلا مؤمن. That means that we have to be a believer. But now, after that, the people in Jannah are not all going to be in the same place. They're not going to get the same reward. So there's also levels of striving for. And these characteristics enable a person to reach a higher level of perfection of their iman. What is included in these characteristics, the Shaykh says, is the fulfillment of the wajibat, al-zahir al-batina. Yani, the outward obligatory duties, like salat, and the internal obligatory duties, like having khushu' in the salat. And avoiding the muharramat and the makruhat. Yani, avoiding the things that are absolutely haram, like fornication and adultery. And avoiding other things that might not be absolutely haram, but yani, that are detestable, disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like engaging in idle talk. وَبِتَكْمِيلِهِمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ اِسْتَحَقُّوا وِرَاثَةَ جَنَّةِ الْفِرْدَوْسِ جَنَّاتِ الْفِرْدَوْسِ الَّتِي هِيَ أَعْلَى الْجَنَّاتِ كَمَا أَنَّهُمْ قَامُوا بِأَعْلَى الْكَمَالَاتِ. So with the completion and their perfection of iman, they became deserving of inheriting the gardens of Firdaus, which are the highest gardens in the Jannah. They are the highest places in Jannah. Just as they have, yani, fulfilled the highest, yani, kamalat, yani, the highest actions which complete iman, yani, which perfect iman. Yani, there's iman, mutlaq al-iman, just the base iman, the person has iman, and then there's the kamalat of iman, the things that yukmil al-iman, that complete and perfect the iman. And these are from those things that complete and perfect iman. And those people who have fulfilled these things that complete and perfect iman, then they have the higher levels. They will have the higher levels in Jannah. The Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ صَرِيحَةٌ فِي أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَشْمِلُ أَقَائِدِ الدِّينِ وَأَخْلَاقَهُ وَأَعْمَالُهُ وَظَاهِرُ الْبَاطِنَ. That these ayat, these descriptions, are sariha, are crystal clear in proving the fact that iman includes the convictions, the aqaid of the deen, the things that we have to believe in, and also the akhlaq of the deen. Yani, abandoning wasteful talk. Yani, abandoning sinful behavior and immorality. Huh? And also, that it includes the amal of the deen. Yani, the ibadat that are done openly and that are done internally. It includes all of this. And this is, yani, what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, and the Shaykh quoted it in the beginning of this section dealing with the ta'rif of iman, that iman, yani, yashmalu aqa'id al-iman wa akhlaqahu wa amalahu. That iman includes the things that we have to believe in, and also the matters of character of, that are part of iman, and the actions of iman, meaning the acts of worship. وَيَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ يَزِيدُ بِزِيَادَةِ هَذِهِ الْأَوْصَافِ والتحقق بها وينقص بنقصها. So based on this, that iman includes, yani, not just the conviction in the heart, the actions of the heart, the speech of the heart, but also the speech on the tongue and the actions of the limbs, that includes all of this internal and external manifestations of Islam. Based on that, then we understand that if speech and actions are also a part of iman, then iman increases with the increase in these descriptions, characterizations. That a person who's characterized with these, yani, descriptions, their iman will be increased with the increase in which they are described with these descriptions. And the iman is increased with a tahakkuk biha. Yani, when a person strives to realize, to actualize these descriptions in real life, iman is increased by that. And iman is increased by a decrease in a person being described with these descriptions, or a person realizing, actualizing, implementing these things in one's life. And also based upon this, we know that أن الناس في الإيمان درجات. أن الناس في الإيمان درجات متفاوتة. That the people, yani, in reference to iman, are on different levels, varying levels. بِحَسَبِ تَفَاوَتِ هَذِي الْأَوْصَافِ. Yani, in accordance with the difference in which a person, the difference with which a person is described with these characteristics. Yani, the people on levels, everybody is not on the same level. in reference to iman. And this goes back to the introduction. When the Shaykh was giving us, when he wrote his introduction before the definition of iman, he said that, and when he was describing the shajaratul iman, the tree of iman that is mentioned in the parable in the Quran, he said that هذه الشجرة متفاوتة في قلوب المؤمنين تفاوتا عظيما. That this tree of iman, the root of it being لا إله إلا الله, that it يتفاوت, يعني it is متفاوتة في قلوب المؤمنين تفاوتا عظيما. That there is a great difference in this tree from the heart of one believer to another. It's not the same. The tree of iman in one believer is not the same as the tree of iman in another believer. And that is based upon يعني بحسب بتفاوت هذه الأوصاف التي وصفها الله بها. يعني in accordance with these descriptions with which Allah has described the tree of iman. يعني to the extent that a person has a greater amount of these descriptions or has realized them to a greater extent, then the tree of iman, the manifestation of iman in that person is going to be greater than the person who has less of these descriptions or lesser يعني actualization or realization of them. And therefore he said, the abd who has been given success should strive to know this tree and to know its descriptions and to know its asbab, the things that cause it to increase and grow, and to know its usul and its furu, its foundations and its branches. The person has to know this, and then they have to strive to realize it, ilman wa amalan, in knowledge, having knowledge of it and acting upon that knowledge. Because it is to the extent that a person realizes this iman, to that extent will a person enjoy al-falah, wal-khayr, wal-sa'ada in this world and in the next. To the extent that a person realizes this tree of iman, to that extent, a person will enjoy the khayr, all good, and the falah, the success and the happiness in this world and in the next. That's how the Shaykh said it in the introduction, and then he came back to that now, saying that the people of iman, based on the fact that iman increases and decreases, then the people of iman are not all the same. They are degrees. When you have a kana, كانوا, so therefore the believers were ثلاثة درجات, and this is what we're going to end with. يعني, and then there's one ayat that the Shaykh closes with to prove the point that he's making here. He said that the believers are on three different levels. سابقون مقربون, يعني those who are foremost and nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in excellence. وهم الذين قاموا بالواجبات والمستحبات وتركوا المحرمات والمكروهات وفضول المباحات. يعني the سابقون, those who are foremost, who are nearest to Allah, are those who, number one, fulfill the obligatory duties and the things that are mustahab. They are not obligatory, but Allah loves them. They fulfill them as well. وتركوا المحرمات, and they abandon whatever Allah has made haram. Not only that, even the things that are makruh. It may not be haram. If a person does it, they will not be punished. They will not be punished for something that's makruh, it's not haram. But they will, yani, that will not be pleasing to Allah. Whereas, yani, the person who abandons the haram, they save themselves from the punishment of Allah. The person who abandons the makruh earns the pleasure of Allah. Yani, an elevated station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have abandoned that which is not haram, but is disliked by Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they also abandon fudul al-mubahat. Yani, excessiveness, even in the things that are permissible. Excessiveness, even in things that are permissible. And he said, they fulfill the obligatory duties and that which is mustahab, and they avoid everything that's haram and that which is makruh, and they don't, yani, engage excessively even in the things that are permissible. Well, muqtasiduna, yani, the second level are those who do the minimum. Yani, those who, الَّذِينَ قَامُوا بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرَكُوا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. Yani, they establish, they fulfill all the obligatory duties, and they abandon everything that's haram, no more, no less. These are the muqtasidun. And the third level is the ظَالِمُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, those who have wronged their own selves. Keeping in mind, as we heard in the khutbah today, the danger of the dhulm. ظَالِمُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And we know that the worst dhulm, as we heard in the khutbah today, it is إِنَّ الشِّرْكِ لَظُلْمُ الْعَظِيمُ. The shirk is a tremendous, horrible, abominable, disgusting evil. Oppression, wrongdoing, shirk. So there's dhulm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving that which belongs to Allah to other than Him. And there's dhulm to other people by doing wrong to them. And there's dhulm to your own self. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this as a third group. Those who do wrong to their own selves. And they are those who taraku ba'd al-wajibat. They abandoned some of the obligatory duties. Some of them, maybe sometimes. Some of the obligatory duties of iman. And they committed some of the muharramat. Some of them, maybe some of the time. So they have wronged their own self. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani these three categories, is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, yani in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 32nd Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابِ. Then we have given as inheritance the book, yani the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ayahs before that, He mentioned the Qur'an, that it is, yani the haqq, that it is the truth. And He mentions here, and He has given the Qur'an, this book, as inheritance to who? الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Those who we have chosen from amongst our ibad. They are from the ibad of Allah that Allah has chosen. Now the chosen ibad of Allah are special. They are not like other people. But even the chosen ibad of Allah who worship Allah, who believe in Allah, they are not all the same. Allah says, we have given as inheritance the book. We have given it to those who we have chosen from amongst our ibad. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِ. But some of them are those who wrong their own selves. Yani by what? By engaging in some haram and abandoning some obligatory duties. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. And some of them are muqtasid. Yani who do the bare minimum. They fulfill all the obligatory duties, but don't go beyond that. They abstain from all of the forbidden things, but they don't, yani, give great attention to that which is makruh. So they are muqtasid. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And some of them are the foremost, who hasten, who go forward, who strive. Yani to do khayrat, good, all types of good deeds. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani by the permission of Allah. Yani they are those who fulfill all the obligatory duties and they do extra. They avoid all the haram and that which is makruh, and they don't engage, as the Shaykh mentions here. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions in his tafsir that they don't engage excessively in that which is, yani, even permissible. These sabiqun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that they have done this, they have been able to achieve this, bi-idhnillah, by the permission of Allah. And the Shaykh says, in his tafsir, that is so that those people who have done well, they don't begin to become deceived by their doing good, and they begin to imagine that they are something special. But rather, this is by the permission of Allah, that we have to acknowledge that if I've been successful in doing some good, it's by the permission of Allah, it's a favor of Allah for which I am obligated to show gratitude. Not to be proud or to think that I'm better than the next person who hasn't been able to reach that level. Rather, this humbles the person. It doesn't make a person proud if they know that their success is by the permission of Allah. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. And that is the great bounty, the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Shaykh says in his tafsir. The meaning of that, that is the great bounty. He said it means that this, yani inheritance of the book, having inherited the book, this is the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to look quickly at some of the comments of the Shaykh. Let's see how close we are to...
Oh, we are very close.
Okay, we already went over 1 hour. How much time we have for the Iqamah? Huh? I won't take 7 minutes. I won't take 7 minutes. Yani in the tafsir, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he mentions a couple of points that are of importance. The first point he mentions, وَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِي. The one who is wrong in his own self, he said, بِالْمَعَاسِي أَلَّتِي هِيَ دُونَ الْكُفْرِ. This is very important. Yani that the one who wronged himself, he wronged himself by committing some sins. That's not equal to kufr. Because if he fell into kufr, he's not from the chosen ibad of Allah. Because these people, these three categories of people, even the ظالم لنفسي, as the scholars of the Sunnah say, and this is the saying of Ibn Abbas and others, that all of these people are from the chosen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the apparent meaning of the ayah. And all of these people will be in Jannah. Except that, some of the scholars said, that the foremost, the sabiqun bil khayrat, that they will enter Jannah, بغير حساب ولا عذاب. They will enter paradise without accounting, and without any punishment. And the second group, the Muqtasid, some of the scholars said that they will enter paradise bihisab yasir. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yasira, as the Prophet ﷺ used to say, O Allah, make for us an easy accounting. An easy accounting. Anyway, Allah will overlook and pardon us. Yani what we have done. They will enter paradise without punishment. Some of the scholars said without hisab, like the first group. That both of them, because they have fulfilled all obligatory duties. And they have avoided everything that's haram. So they will not be punished. They will enter paradise directly. And only the third group, if Allah doesn't forgive them for their wrongs, for the sins that they committed, and the obligatory duties that they abandoned, only those may be punished for some time as Allah wills, justly. And by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then they will come out of the hellfire. So all of these people are the people of Jannah. They will all enter the paradise, but obviously their levels will not be the same. And this is a proof that the iman in the believers, in the people of iman, is not the same. And the stations of the people of iman in Jannah will not be the same. Yani, that was the most important point. I don't want to go any further. Whoever likes, yani, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir is translated. Tafsir of the Sheikh is also translated. So, yani, the important thing here is that this last sequence of ayat that the Sheikh has mentioned here is, or ayat, one ayat, he didn't mention this ayat as a proof for the comprehensive definition of iman, that iman, yani, is manifested outwardly and inwardly, but he mentioned it as a proof of another matter of iman, and that is that iman increases and decreases, and therefore the levels of the people of iman are not the same. And this is part of what we believe from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we believe iman increases and decreases, and that the level of iman differs from one believer to another. It's not the same, and therefore the people, yani in paradise, the people of iman will not be the same. Some of the people of paradise will be struggling to look up to see the lofty stations of the Ahlul Ghuraf. May Allah grant us to be from among them, yani by His favor and His mercy, and let us, yani, ask Allah's help. Yani, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah. Yani, go after diligently, eagerly, seeking to fulfill the commands of Allah and to avoid His prohibitions, to go above and beyond, to do a little more, and to do what we are doing a little better by the permission of Allah. Let's ask Allah's help and ask Allah's forgiveness for our shortcomings and ask Allah to keep us firm until we return to Him in the condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.